It's Thursday, September 16th, and you're listening to The Geek at Geek News Central, the longest continuously running tech podcast. This is show number 890, sponsored in part by GoDaddy.com. Our September GoDaddy special, get 32% off your order at GoDaddy by using the promo code GO32OFF1 or get a .com for $1.99. And no, it's Monday, September 16th. Hey, Geek News Central is a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. Tonight's show, are they monitoring our credit card transactions as well? Well, you know what's next. Let's launch this, baby. It's go time.
All right, people, I need a go-no-go for the Geek News Central podcast. Digital archive recorders.
We're go fly.
Microphone.
We're go fly.
Video feed.
Go.
Web browser.
Go.
RSS data stream aggregator.
Go fly.
Interflux Toddism suppressor.
All right, I'm confused.
Host readiness check.
Welcome to the show. Welcome to the show.
The Geek News Central podcast is a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's here. All right, ladies and gentlemen, we are ready to go. Cue Todd in...
Five.
Button, who's got the button?
Four.
There is no cause for alarm.
Three.
Everybody hold on to something.
Two.
Just press the button.
One.
It's showtime.
Aloha and welcome to Geek News Central, coming to you as live as it can be from the beautiful state of Hawaii via the Geek News Central studio overlooking Greater Honolulu. Hey, everyone, welcome to the show. Of course, my name is Todd Cochran, and I'll be your guest, as I always am, here at the show tonight. We're show number 890, man. We are on the march to 900. It's very, very exciting to, think about that, 900 episodes. And you know what I'm really thinking about is next year getting to 1,000. But for all of you that have been here for almost 890 episodes, because I know not all of you have been here from the beginning. Some of you have. Some of you came in the middle. Some of you picked the show up maybe just tonight. So thanks for being here and thanks for checking out the show. And of course, you're part of the Ohana now. You're part of our family. You're part of our audience. Thanks for being here. Thanks for and get subscribed. You know, that's the best way to stay connected with the show. It's real easy to do. All you got to really do is visit the website over at geeknewscentral.com, and you'll be able to get access to all of our content over there. And that's really the way to go. In Second Combo website, you're going to find where to subscribe to the show. And you're going to find RSS feeds. You're going to find a newsletter link there. Get hooked up so that you can get stay connected with the show tonight and future nights. The newsletter guarantees you that when the show is over, I'm going to go ahead and email out all the links to all the show, basically everything that I've covered tonight. And that'll get you all the links so that you'll have it and you'll be able to follow it and check out the articles that I deemed to be the hottest of the day on the tech news side. And, of course, you can find all of the show notes as well over at gncshownotes.com/890. You'll see that show 889 is up with all the links we had from 889 if you go over there. But 890 will be posted for those of you that are listening or watching this if we're not live. But definitely get over there and get subscribed to that newsletter, or just go over to the website at gncshownotes.com. Of course, the primary website at geeknewscentral.com is where you find all our daily content, blog posts, and of course, where you find the audio and video portion of this podcast. You can watch the show as well on the Tech Podcast Network. If you want, go over to techpodcast.com. And matter of fact, I'm a member of this network where there's 130, 140 plus family safe shows over there, all kinds of tech content for you to consume. So definitely get over to techpodcast.com. We're on the Roku, we're on the Boxy, Samsung Smart TV, Google TV, Chromecast, and just every piece of glass known to man that has a computer processor behind it. So you can get there with your tablet or your iPhone or your Android device. If you're still a BlackBerry person, you still can even get to the show via the BlackBerry podcast directory as well. And as always, you can reach me on Twitter at Geek News. You can email me here directly. That's the best way, via geeknews@gmail.com. And if you've got something to shout out, you got something to say, you want to be loud, 619-342-7365 is the hotline for you to call and leave a comment. What else here? We're up on YouTube tonight, streaming live, and this has really worked out well. The longer I'm using YouTube, the more I'm liking it. I wish we could set up to do longer sessions. We're looking at that as a potential platform for using for our CES content. So really excited because it's, we can push varying levels of quality to it. And he just needs, wish we could do 8 hours at a shot instead of only four is the max you can go without resetting and then doing the embeds all over. So we'll have to come up with a strategy on that as we move forward. But don't forget, sponsor here of this show is GoDaddy.com. GoDaddy's been a longtime sponsor of this show and taking care of you as an audience, giving you great, great deals. And it doesn't stop. This month, they put together a whopper, 32% off for your new order at GoDaddy by using the promo code GO32OFF1. And really, it is an amazing deal to be able to save 32% on an order that you get over at GoDaddy. It could be a server. It could be a hosting product. It could be one of their tools. This is really the way to save by using that big, fat promo code over at GoDaddy. Along with that, we've got the $99.coms. And really, a website all starts with an awesome domain. If I'd have known when we started Geek News Central a number of years ago, you know, I had bought some domains, but boy, I could have bought one a little bit shorter. But we live with what we have at this point. But get that $99.com. Pick out the .com that you want. And really, it's $199. Let me make sure that I'm not giving you the wrong code here. We can go right over the promo code. It's $199 geeks is the actual promo code that you use with that. Or like I said, you can just go over to geekinthecentral.com/GoDaddy. You'll find all my promo codes. And how you find that is right on the main part of the website. There's a GoDaddy promo code link. You click on that. It's going to take you to this page. It's going to show you all of our monthly offers and all of our everyday not expiring offers as well. We've got SSL certificates for $12.99, $20, $10, and $5 off, $8.49.com renewals. We've got everyday price $7.99.coms. We've got where you can say 10 or 20% on different products and services, even a 15% code as well. And we even got hosting at 3 months of economy web hosting for just $1.99 a month. So a great way to save by going over to geekinthecentral.com/GoDaddy. And of course, Jean-Claude Van Damme says, get busy, pick up a GoDaddy product. And really what it boils down to, it's go time. And that's the theme right now being portrayed and pushed at GoDaddy. So we hope that you'll check it out and kicking some fire into this brand. All right, what else have I got going for you tonight? I tell you, it's kind of weird because at 890 episodes, you know, I have to, every time that I do show prep and get ready, I have to really kind of sit back, hey, what have you done the last couple of days? Just so that you guys, you know, because in reality, you know, I'm just like the rest of us. We have our routines, right? And it kind of gets into this mundane, and you guys don't want mundane. You want exciting, and it really, life doesn't always throw us those exciting things that really kind of like just completely boggles the mind that something like this could have happened, and share a story. So what I thought I would do is, you guys always hear about me and what I'm doing, and what I would really want to do is, if you guys have something that happens to you that is really kind of like out of this world cool, it's a special occasion, it's an anniversary, whatever it may be, definitely send me an email with that, and I'll cover that. And it's just got to be short, one or two sentences or maybe a paragraph max on something that's really cool that's happened to you. And we'll kind of cover it what I can in the beginning of the show so that we can kind of hear about your life as long as my not always exciting life. But really, today was filled with mixed emotions for me. I woke up and the alarm clock here goes off at 5 o'clock in the morning. Sometimes 4 o'clock in the morning, depending on what's going on. I roll out and, you know, basically it's a beeline for the office, you know, and the first thing I do is open up email and maybe I'll look at what's trending on Twitter or a variety of different things. Of course, the first thing I heard about was this shooting that happened today at the Navy Yard in Washington, D.C. And of course, as the story developed today, we know that 13 people lost their lives and we have many more people that were injured. And really, you know, my heart, you know, anything that sometimes says Navy, it's like, you know, that's that was my family, you know, for a long, many, many years. And many of my closest friends are still, you know, we all have direct relations with the military and everything. And so anytime my Navy family's in pain, it really kind of makes me go, And, you know, it was one of those mornings I came in, I left the office, I went, turned on the TV and I turned it to a news station just to kind of, you know, see what they were talking about. But this is just tragic. It really, really is. And I don't know what the story is with this guy that did the shooting yet, but you just wonder sometimes. You really, really do. But again, the heart goes out to the families. And yeah, monumentous day in their lives in a negative way, obviously. So we'll be thinking and keeping them in our hearts and prayers. On this past Saturday, I had a guest on the new media show that, you know, I keep meeting these guys and gals that, you know, it's like our brains almost are, in some instances, mirror images in ideas, thought processes, things that we thought would be cool. And you guys know that I have been huge, huge proponent for a long time of online education, online getting media, getting content, stuff that changes the world. And I really think what the folks over at Creative Live are doing, and I had co-founder and chairman Chase Jarvis on Saturday, Rob Greenlee and I did, and we interviewed him. And what they're doing over there is, to me, is like, I think they've just nailed it. And essentially what they do is they seek out, and I've told you guys before, I think it would be awesome if we could have had like Steve Jobs, you know, spend a week just talking about business and creative process and everything that, you know, defined him. And, you know, and we've got a lot of people out there like Bill Gates and, you know, and all these different great entities that if we could just capture some of their creative spirit and be able to learn from them, it's going to be good. So what Chase has done is he's seeking out like the top folks in photography, top folks in video and lighting and lifestyle stuff and health and fitness. And there's this whole way, it's a very narrow set of categories, but what they offer is a way for people to really get educated on a variety of different products and services. And I, you know, things I saw immediately was Adobe After Effects. They had a live course on that. So what they do is they bring these folks in, they script everything out, and then they have a live session. I mean, it could be 2, 3, even a week long. This week, they're doing photographers. If you're a photography nut, here, listen right now. Whatever you're doing, and I know that I should never tell you to leave this, but if you're a photography nut and you're listening during daytime hours, in other words, like 9 to 5, Eastern time, or even I think Pacific time, you're going to want to go over to Creative Live right now because they have 50 of the world's top photographers in there are doing roundtables talking about photography techniques, all kinds of sessions. Now, all this is free this week. Then they, after they get done with it, they package all that content up and make it available for sale as a premium model. So, you know, I missed the live After Effects training course, but for $99, I can download the premier guy in Adobe, the world expert on After Effects, and I can get 1 week's worth of, I'm like 40 hours of training on After Effects. And this is the type of stuff that they provide. Now, I probably could not have ever watched that stuff live. And some people would be able to, depends on where you're at in the world. You know, you think about you're in your low income situation, or you become unemployed. All this stuff is free, and all these world class teachers are there to share with you different ways to basically improve yourself and get away from the bloob tube and sit down and watch something for free if you have the time. Or if you don't, for a small fee, you can actually get the content and you can watch at your leisure. I was just absolutely impressed with what they have. And I think what they've really hit upon here is that they've done, and actually I should bring the website up and show you guys this. Creative, how come that didn't cache? There it goes. For those of you that are watching, so, you know, go over to the Creative Live website and it basically shows all this stuff. photography, business, software, design, video and film, audio, lifestyle. And, you know, it's, there's all this content that is really awesome, but it's purely on professionals. It's purely people that are world-class in the space. And at some point, this is going to trickle out into, you know, more folks that aren't as well known and different types of categories of content. I think what they've really found here, what they've done is fantastic. I think you got $8 to $18 million in venture funding to get this off the ground. He says they're profitable at this point, which is fantastic. So very, very cool. But anyway, check that out. Just watch the interview, and I think you're going to kind of understand, you know, from where you guys have listened to me talk all these years, you're going to know where there's some where we sync up. It's just amazing. It just goes to show you, if you have the resources and cash, you can do a lot of great things in a very short period of time. And of course, you have to have the connections and everything to make it happen too, but it was totally awesome. So I went on and on about this and gave this guy the ultimate plug, but I was that impressed with the product. Okay, so let me switch on here. Let's go again. Fast approaching the 900th show. And what do you have? You guys have any suggestions for 900? You guys know what I've done in previous, you know, 100 marks. What do you think I should do for show 900? Also, looking for podcast award volunteers. So if you're willing to review a couple of categories for me for the podcast awards when our nominations are over, let me know. Drop me an email at geeknews@gmail.com, and we'll get you as part of the crew that does that rewards. You can't be a podcaster. You can only be a listener. We'll be communicating with you, but definitely email me, and we'll get you hooked up. My wife and I, we were doing a little shopping, and we picked up this variety pack of Hawaiian beer, and we have fell in love with the Kona Brewing Company. I kind of had, I'd had one of these before, but, and I'm not necessarily promoting alcohol here, but for those of you that like an ice cold brew, if you can get your hands on a longboard, it's really, really good. So, I guess I am promoting alcohol, but it was good. And those of you that are underage, don't drink until you're legal. But, yeah, if you come to Hawaii, get yourself a draft of this. Okay. And sit back and, so anyway, just share their little tip. I wish they were a sponsor. Okay, so I think that's it. Let's go ahead and get into the stack. I have a big stack of stuff to get through tonight. Lots of news, and I want to get into a bit of a serious topic right off the get-go, and I guess it's time to really kind of get up on get up on the old, you know, cardboard box here or milk cart and really kind of make y'all think a little bit. I've talked in the past what happened with my youngest son, Chris. My oldest, next oldest is 15. He's going to be 16 here real soon. And Chris is 9. So there was a, you know, there's a separation of years there, right? And so after Ray and Anna had gotten, you know, to the age they were, we really weren't in the baby business. And when my wife kind of got the idea that she was potentially pregnant, she went and picked up a pregnancy test kit. I've talked about this in the past. And she paid cash for that pregnancy test kit and had come home and used it. And we found out we were pregnant. And then a couple of days later, she went to the basically where we have our doctor's office at Triple Army Medical Center here in Hawaii. And it's a military treatment facility. She went there and got the test verified and then, you know, got the prescriptions for prenatal and all that stuff. So we're excited and everything. But we really hadn't said anything to anybody. No YouTube, no Twitter postings. I don't even think Twitter was even available then, but we really didn't tell anyone. And then within about a week to 10 days, we got a piece of paper. I actually got a parent magazine in the mail that said, "Congratulations, Cochrane family." And it was, we're like, how did they know? You know, we didn't have it. We were already out of really this, we were in this different stage, right? And then, so the only thing that we could have thought of is that the hospital, which they're not supposed to do, sold our information to Parent Magazine or some list. Now that pissed me off enough as it was. And, you know, we talked about here then, and I've talked about for years, about how if you go today and you use your credit card to buy a pack of cigarettes, or you go buy a cigar and you use your credit card to buy a cigar, and you tell your insurance company that you're a non-smoker, if your insurance company does a little digging around and they find out that you bought cigars, whether or not you're just like a one-a-month type of person or what, you're technically a smoker and you go into a higher degree of health insurance, okay? So that's bad enough, all right? We all know that there could be these ramifications of people digging into our privacy. We already know Walmart knows about a lot about us. Anywhere you purchase something, they've got these itemized list of what you bought, and you probably get flyers and stuff that really are targeted towards you, and emails. And we all have seen it. We search for something online in Amazon. 3 days later, you're seeing the little ad in the second column of the website that's promoting that same product you were looking at. And we all go, boy, they're putting everything together. But there was an article on Spiegel. The German magazine Spiegel is citing new details from the Edward Snowden files, reporting that an NSA program called Follow the Money track records of international payments, banking, and credit card transactions. So let me read that again. Tracks records of international payments. It doesn't say international banking. It doesn't say international credit cards. It says credit card transactions, banking, and of course, international payments. So, whether you live in the United States, Europe, or somewhere else, it makes you wonder, every time you swipe your card, ching ching, is that going into a database entry that the government now has a new profile for you? It's bad enough that the retailers are collecting that data and sharing and building marketing profiles on you, but it's something completely new when the government's taking your credit card data and looking at your purchase history. So let me just stop and let's just think about this for a second. Where could this come into play? And let's not even think about the bad stuff that they're looking for the, you know, the bad guys. Let's just look at you and me. So you guys know that every once in a while I like to have a glass of scotch. And I have, over time, collected, five or six different scotches. And I can only afford to buy a good one like once a year. So, you know, and it's in my cabinet, and it lasts a long time. But every time I make a alcohol purchase, or if I make a luxury item purchase or whatever, all those transactions are being tracked. And let's say that you're going up for a federal job and you sign your life away saying you can basically investigate me, and they go in and dig up your buying habits. And they say, hey, you're used to buying scotch and these luxury items. You look like you're living a lot. So there's all these questions that can be raised. And not only that, let's take this the next step. All right, there's been some word, and we talked about this in a prior show, where another agency, not even what's being alleged here by the NSA, but another U.S. government agency, is collecting the same exact information. What happens when they take that data and turn it over to the IRS? So we know cash is king, and we know that a lot of people in this country probably circumvent IRS rules and don't pay the full amount of taxes that they're supposed to because they deal a lot with cash. Well, if they take that cash and they don't use cash all the time, and they use their credit cards a lot of the time, and use a money order to pay off a credit card or whatever it may be, all of a sudden they're saying, hey, this person only reported, let's just use a number, $100,000 in income, yet we see $200,000 of credit card transactions. How could it be? So the next thing you know, because they're collecting this data, they're going to be dropping an IRS audit on your ass. And I apologize for swearing, but let's wake up. And what point is, are we beyond the constitutional rights we have for reasonable privacy? I think that we jumped the shark, folks. I really think we're at a point now where our Bill of Rights has completely been obliterated. And yes, I can't speak the English language. So if your credit card transactions are being tracked by at least two government agencies, at least one allegedly and another admittingly, does that make you go, wow? It does me. You know, okay, so allegedly our phone data is being tracked. Our credit card data is being tracked. Who knows whatever else is being tracked? You know, they're looking outwards right now, right? Looking outwards. But what happens when someone starts looking inwards? You know, are we going to be, the next thing you know, they're going to be rounding people up, taking them to the gulag because they did a certain thing or bought a certain product? I might be out there. That might sound a little on the edge, on the fringe. But it should make all of us go, just a little bit, I would think. So it should make all of you go, wow. It really, really should. And I'd love to hear you guys' feedback on this. And you can email me here at geeknews@gmail.com. And tell me what you think. But again, this is just an article that was on a website making allegations. And wow. And if you're outside the United States, you know, it looks like it could be even worse. All right. We'll switch gears here just a little bit. And over on Ars Technica, there's an article about fatal crypto flaw in some government-certified smart cards make forgery a snap. There's a common access cards. Basically, have an embedded chip that have a certain amount. Basically, it is a way for you to pin. You're issued a pin, and you're able to put that in as a verification point to log into computer systems and access different things. But there is some questions now whether or not the smart cards are all that secure. And there's a great write-up here about keys being broken and the stacking of the deck and a whole variety of things here that should make, you know, it's going to make the cryptology community wary on what they have implemented to be circumvented. So kind of scary stuff when you consider that CAC cards are heavily used throughout the government and throughout private industry as well. If they can be forged, that's pretty crazy stuff. It really, really is. All right, enough on the oh my gosh topics to the let's get it on type of topic. An angry entrepreneur has replied to a patent troll with a racketeering lawsuit. So most business owners that are sued by patent trolls don't talk about it to anyone other than the lawyer. A typical response to cross one's fingers and hope the problem goes away. Of course, it won't, of course. Often they do the next best thing and hope it'll go away for as little money as possible. So there was a guy that by the name of Kevin O'Connor, who runs a website called Find the Best, who also co-founded online ad giant DoubleClick, who basically was bought out, and he's got some pretty good cash background. And basically, he has vowed to spend $1 million of his own money to fight the troll that went after his company for $50,000. And he says, "You know, I could have paid the $50,000 and put up and shut up, but I'm going to fight these guys." And they're going after RICO Act racketeering type things based upon the shakedown that has been applied against him. He says, from a business perspective, it makes 100% sense to settle, he said. I decided to take it out of the business realm and into the personal. The one thing I love, and that's technology. And there's one thing I hate, and that's injustice of people abusing the system. Spending that kind of cash to fight a lawsuit or patent suit would be devastating to most startups, which had received $17 million in venture capital over its short life, according to VentureFeet. But because O'Connor sold DoubleClick to Google in 2008, he's got some money in the bank to be able to push back. And so this is only the third time a major effort has been mounted to lasso a patent troll with the law known as the Racketeer Influence Corruption Organizations, RICO. Cisco tried it against Innovato, and they didn't win that one. So we'll see what happens with this. But he lays out what happened and how they were threatened and pressured. And it's nice to see a guy with that kind of money fighting back, for the betterment of other small tech companies out there that, quite frankly, would be devastated or are being devastated by these patent trolls on a regular basis. So we'll see how he makes out on this. We'll keep following it for you. Are you got kids in school in California? Listen up. A California school district hires an online monitoring firm to watch 13,000 students. Yes, they're monitoring 13,000 students. This company called GeoListening does that for the school district. GeoListening looks for social media posts that deal with depression, despair, online bullying, hate speech, or other words and phrases that may indicate a possible violation of school codes of conduct, whether it is by a student or someone in and around a school location. So if you've got kids in the Glendale Unified School District located north of downtown LA, the agreement became the first publicly confirmed partnership between the company and the school district. Glendale will pay $40,500 taxpayer dollars for GeoListening to monitor posts of the 13,000 students across its 8 middle and high schools for an academic year. So your taxpayer dollars and the Glendale Unified School District is going to a company that is spying on your kids. Wow. But they say we were able to save a life. Surveillance is surveillance is surveillance is surveillance is surveillance is surveillance. And I don't want anyone surveilling my high school, middle school, or elementary student. I think this is incredible. Let parents be parents and quit spying on the kids. Here's what the company's privacy policy states. GeoListening services processes, analyzes, and reports only public available data that aligns with the school district procedures and board policy related to student conduct and safety. The GeoListening system takes into account frequency and severity of a student's posts in the include indicators related to bullying, cyberbullying, hate and shaming activities, depression, harm, self-hate, suicide, crime, vandalism, substance abuse, and truancy. GeoListening does not circumvent any personal privacy settings on the platforms where it indexes content to GeoListening service are intended solely to collect and process publicly available information. But a school district hiring this company to spy on their kids? Please, someone tell me you think this is a great idea. And I'm willing to hear your guys' inputs on this. I want to hear what you think. Do you want the school to hire some third party to spy on your kids? Getting them trained, folks. Getting them to become sheep. Hey, it's okay to be spied upon when you're in high school. Hey, it's okay to be spied upon when you're in college. Hey, it's okay to be spied upon when you're an adult. You don't have no privacy. Following people around like sheep. Making people be sheep. When are people going to get pissed off and say enough is enough? I will preface this. If you work in a job where you have signed a piece of paper allowing your employer to delve into your life, so be it. That is what you have signed. But if you're a private citizen with no ties to a company that digs into your lifestyle and what you do, you know, I would be horribly offended. Makes you wonder, doesn't it? All right. I've got you riled up enough. Are you mad? Okay, I got something to calm you down a little bit, okay? Calm me down a little bit, too. Google may be trying to save Glass users from needing a tethering plan. Shh, I don't have a tethering plan, and I've been using my Google Glass from the beginning. Don't tell anybody, okay? Google may have tweaked its Google Glass so that users can share their smartphone data connection to the headset without paying a tethering fee. I haven't been paying a tethering fee, and it's been working just fine. So that was with XE9 update. My Google Glass, it's right here. And I don't wear them every day, but they go with me quite a bit. Netflix lets content pirates help with programming. What do they do? So Netflix is pretty smart. Netflix is following the pirates as it chooses content to add to its streaming video service. When rolling out its service in the Netherlands, the company looked at what content to offer based in part on what shows were popular on piracy websites. Prison Break is exceptionally popular on piracy sites. Kelly Merriam, Netflix Vice President of Content Acquisition, told Torrent Freak, a website that tracks news about BitTorrent file sharing protocol. Netflix takes that view that it can draw people away from the life of video piracy by offering the same content, only with a better user experience and less risk of legal fallout. Reed Hastings, the company's CEO, said that whenever Netflix is launched in a market, the level of activity on piracy sites drop. Netflix also describes piracy sites as sort of a lead generator in which people whet their appetites for content before satisfying themselves through legitimate online services. Very, very cool. Smart. Smart, smart, smart by Netflix to do that. That, to me, folks, is a smart company that's figured it out. All right, this next one is going to really go deep here. And I don't want to go too deep into this thing because some of you are going to vapor lock on me. And I don't want that to happen, okay? But for those of you that are super technically inclined, listen to this. Researchers have found a new way to do ultra low-level method of hacking on CPUs. And there's no way to detect it. Now, we've always worried that the Chinese would start building into their chips and stuff that they're embedding in the stuff that they send to the United States, backdoors and all kinds of other stuff. But researchers with the University of Massachusetts have devised a method of breaking a CPU's internal cryptographic mechanism in ways that are undetectable by current search methods, including close examination of the processor with high-powered microscopes. Did you know that they could do that? They could look at the structure? So here's a bit of context that's going to help you guys out for a little bit. For years, we've known that a foundry responsible for manufacturing a processor could theoretically make changes to the architecture that would create backdoors. In other words, they change the chip layout. They could weaken security, compromise the design. Such methods would be extremely difficult to integrate without changing the CPU's data output, performance characteristics, and so forth. Now, they were able to do visual inspections before and say, yep, it's designed the way we want it to be. But right now, they're saying even Intel's hardware random generator can be compromised in a manner neither visually detectable nor visible when the chip is tested at startup. And how's this done? Now, this is going to blow your mind. They're going to dope the transistors. doping a transistor refers to inducing specific impurities into the crystalline structure. This process is central to semiconductor manufacturing. It's done in very specific ways to create transistors with particular properties. And they're saying by slightly altering the doping of very specific regions, attackers are able to change the behavior of Intel's random number generator. Now, the random number generator by Intel is good to 1/2 by the 128th power. So this is, you know, that is the basic level chances of hacking this thing. But with a compromised chip, it's went down to 1/2 of like N, like a very low number. So where N is the number of constant bits chosen by the designer. The higher the constant bits, the weaker the RNG. So this is an interesting move here. So they're saying that this could be tampered with during manufacturing. Very subtle, not down in the weeds, but it could not be, you know, by looking at the transistor underneath a microscope, you couldn't tell that there was impurities introduced. And basically you program through those impurities the way the chip responds and different types of things. Whoa. Heavy, heavy stuff. Deep in. The chance of this being successful of, you know, implemented is probably very, very hard. But who knows these days? Who knows what has, you know, what company could have been forced to do? There's a lot of smart people out there. They really are. And if you're, you know, if the chips are being made overseas, who's to know, right? Huh, crazy, crazy stuff. You guys like Lost? I loved Lost. Lost creator, and I'm going to pronounce his name wrong, Damon Lindelof, is returning to TV with an HBO series called The Leftovers. Now, this should be very, very cool. The Leftovers is an hour-long drama based on the novel by Tom Perrotta. It tells the story of people left behind after the rapture. So he's going to serve as the showrunner for the program, and he co-wrote the pilot with the author of the book. So this ought to be really, really good. I'm going to have to buy this book now and read it before this series comes out. Another reason to keep my HBO subscription. So I'm really excited to see where this is going to lead. And if he puts a twist like he does in Lost, it's going to be huge, huge, huge at the box office. All right, AT&T is threatening persistent pirates with account termination. The copyright alert system's main goal was to educate the public. It wasn't about canceling their accounts. Torrent Frink obtained a copy of AT&T's copyright alert posted in full on the article I'm going to link to, which warns those that share copyright files may lose their account. And part of the agreement was that no one would ever lose an account. But now AT&T is basically, you know, changing course here. And if you become a six striker, you may end up losing your account with AT&T. You know, the flooding, switching gears here, the flooding out in Colorado has been horrible. Just, families devastated, homes lost. It's going to be a long time for those folks to recover. It's just terrible. And a private company there has been helping out local law enforcement and emergency response by flying a mini UAV and basically going and mapping and doing video and basically getting data sent back to when aircraft and so forth couldn't fly. And they were really helping with the basically search effort and determination on where they're going to respond to next and so forth. And they were able to give them a lot of great data. Well, FEMA arrived. And here's the story. Early Saturday morning, Falcon UAV was heading up to Lyons, Colorado, to complete a damage assessment mapping flight when we received a call from Boulder EOC our Boulder EOC point of contact, who notified us that FEMA had taken over operations and our request to fly drone was not only denied, but more specifically, we were told by FEMA that anyone flying drones would be arrested. Not being one to bow to federal bureaucrats, we still went up to Lyons to do a site survey for how we can conduct a mission in the near future to provide an adequate damage assessment to the storm-ravaged community. He says, while we're up there, we noticed CAP and private aircraft were authorized to fly over the small town tucked into the base of the Rockies. Unfortunately, due to the height of terrain around Lyons and large turn radiuses of manned aircraft, they were flying well out of a useful visual range and didn't employ cameras or live video feed to support the recovery effort. So basically, FEMA basically said, you fly aircraft and we'll arrest you. We don't care that you're helping. Something is utterly broke. Utterly broke over there at FEMA. Probably mad because, I mean, FEMA couldn't fly their own airplanes, I'm sure. All right, I want to show you guys something. For those of you that are listening, you're going to want to go to this website. And this was a collection of photos taken from the Stasi. The Stasi was an East German version of the KGB, established by the Soviets in 1952. And just like the KGB, the Stasi was mostly busy looking for enemies of the people, employing round-the-clock surveillance and eavesdropping on German citizens. After all, after the fall of Berlin Wall, people assaulted the Stasi headquarters, dissolved the organization, opened archives of public, and created a museum in the main building. And this is an archive of all their little spy gear and stuff that they were carrying, cameras, embedded button cameras, tie cameras, just you name it, all kinds of stuff to monitor and to collect on the citizens to make sure they followed the Soviet doctrine and didn't become bad citizens. And if they did, I'm sure they were thrown into the gulag. But lots of cool pictures here of how this was employed. And they were pretty ingenious in how they set stuff up. That one's kind of obvious. Birds would try to get into this thing, but there's a camera there. But any barrels, you name it, different types of camera setups, sides of walls, just you name it, office monitoring, on and on and on. It's a pretty cool set of pictures about what the Stasi used to spy on the East Germans. Hey, YouTube is starting testing Chromecast support for third-party websites. So if you're putting YouTube stuff on your website, you may soon see the Chromecast up button available when you're basically viewing something on a website. So cool that they're doing that. Also, there's been changes to Google Voice. Google Voice made voicemail access a little more secure today, requiring that if you call your voicemail from phone registered, you can get into your voicemail. If you don't, you have to type in one of the registered numbers, basically, and create a PIN as well. So that's nice to see that they've secured that up a little bit. In space news, there's a couple of things that's happened. The Antares Falcon launch has slipped. The first launch of the Cygnus cargo spacecraft on an Antares rocket has been delayed a day because of technical issues, while the first launch of an upgraded Falcon 9 will be delayed until the end of the month. So Orbital Science announced Saturday morning that they delayed the launch of their first Cygnus spacecraft on an Antares rocket from Tuesday to Wednesday. A faulty cable between the rocket and ground equipment was detected in tests on Friday. So we're still going to see some launches this week and then some more at the end of the month. So exciting, exciting stuff. If you are a Rhapsody user, be aware that Rhapsody's in financial trouble. They released 30 of their folks today. They laid them off. About 15% of their work staff, they have not been able to keep up with some of the competition here. So some folks found themselves on the unemployment line today. If you love looking at the moon, the folks over at Gizmodo have linked up a pretty cool image. This is a rotating moon mosaic. It's the most accurate that they claim has ever been seen. And this was basically created by the Lunar Reconnaissance Orbiter camera. And they basically levelized all the lights, so it all looks pretty even. But if you want to see the moon in a living black and white, link will be up in the show notes. Something I saw the other day, How big do you guys think the moon is? Do you guys actually know how big it is? Did you know that you could lay, if you took the United States and laid it, it would basically fit across the face of the moon completely. It wouldn't go over the top or bottom, but you could basically lay the United States over the face of the moon. And to be honest with you, it was one of those things that I kind of like really didn't know. I didn't realize how big the circumference of the moon was. And when they showed a graphical depiction of putting the map of the United States over it, minus Hawaii, I was like, wow, that thing's a lot bigger than I thought it was. So some of those big impact sites are like the size of many states. So very, very cool stuff. Link will be up in the show notes on the Gizmodo link. Also, if you lived in Japan in 1964 and the Olympics was getting ready to happen, and you lived in an area where they were going to build some of the Olympic sites, you basically got displaced. Well, one gentleman who was evicted from the 1964 Olympics, found out yesterday that he's going to be evicted again for the 2020. Basically, the games are coming back for the 2020. And the new Olympic Stadium is going to go right where the old one is, only it's going to be bigger. So this gentleman's home and tobacco shop are again going to have to be forfeited. Now, the Japanese are pretty generous when they do eminent domain type stuff. This guy's 79 years old. He says he doesn't want to move. He says, probably I may go where you cannot set up a tobacco shop. He says, that means I'll lose my reason for living. So obviously this gentleman is someone that likes to work and he sells tobacco, but we'll see if the Olympics accommodate him. But one way or the other, he will probably cash in handsomely. When Star Wars was first introduced to the public so long ago, the very intro at the very beginning was pretty awesome. Well, a guy has been able to recreate the Star Wars opening crawl with HTML and CSS. And I saw this and I thought, this is really, really cool. So Tim Pitreski recreated the famous opening crawl of Star Wars from 1977 using HTML and CSS and JavaScript because he couldn't find a web version of it. Even better, the code is up on codepen.io. And this guy's detailed the process on his website for all to see. So this is really, really cool. It is. I'm thinking to myself, how can we do something cool here at Geek News Central with that? I'll be thinking about it. I really, really will. But anyway, nice to see that he was able to accomplish that with the little programming prowess. All right, some articles over in Geek News Central that you want to pay attention to. Stuff that's been written up. Andrew has written an article on ebooks from your local library. I'm sure all of you know that have tablets that you can basically for in most places you can get an ebook and borrow and signed up from your local library. You don't have to go buy it. So you know he was able to find libraries in UK, USA, Canada, Mexico, Germany, India, and Japan. So there's some worldwide coverage there. But he talks about the OverDrive Media Console app. That's the one he talks about that he was using. So pretty cool stuff here where you can go and grab yourself a book instead of spending $9.95 or $19.95 or $26.95 at Amazon or your favorite online shopping site. Another article that I put out when I wrote was about a Belkin 2-port car charger. This is basically a charger for those of you that are Apple users. This will charge the iPhone 5, iPad mini, and iPad 4th generation. It accepts the 2.1 amperage of charging rate. It's certified for Apple devices, available at, I think I saw it as cheap as $29.99. If you go to the Belkin website, it's $44.99. So definitely shop around for this. But it's a dual port charger. It's pretty slick, and we like it a lot. My wife has that thing plugged in continuously in our car. I talked about a little bit on the last show about if you want a Microsoft Surface, trade your iPad for it. There's details at Geek News Central on how to do that. Jeffrey put that up for us, so definitely check that out. Hey, there's a Pew survey out that says 21% of the United States cell phone owners get online mostly through their phones. That's an incredible numbers. 21% get online chiefly or primarily through their handset, up from 17% last year. That's big. It's big, 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 big. All right. Let's see here. Did you know, those of you that are basically big space buffs, you guys probably know about the Saturn 1B. You guys know about the Saturn 1B? You know, we know about the Saturn V moon rocket, the largest, most powerful rocket ever built, which command a great deal of attention. But there was a smaller version, a two-stage version, that launched men into space as well. And it was the Saturn 1B. I've got a great Wired article that I'm going to send you over to take a look at. So definitely check that out. Also, scientists are a little bit scratching their head. They're saying the sun has mysteriously gone quiet just when its activity should be the highest. So the quiet face of the sun is basically devoid of sunspots. So the scientists are saying, wow, okay, maybe this is going to be a period of a, you know, long period of lows and maybe a few ebbs here and there. But nice to see that the sun is pretty calm at this point. Well, because of sequestration, the Department of Defense can't afford to buy a fax machine to receive Freedom of Information request. Folks have been trying to fax in their Freedom of Information request, and basically they've replied back to those folks saying, hey, because of sequestration, we probably aren't going to be able to buy another fax machine until October 1st. But more likely, they won't get their money until January, so it'll probably be next February before they get a new fax machine. Yeah, that's how things work in the government. That's, you want something, you can't just go down to Office Depot and pick one up. Doesn't work that way. Has to go through contracting. Don't you know about 25 people have to touch a piece of paper before you can go out and buy? You know, that $149 fax machine turns into a $14,000 fax machine because of all the bureaucracy and check-throughs. In all reality, they probably have a networked attached fax machine. So that probably costs even more money, and it goes beyond what they can put on a credit card. So it has to go out for bid. Anyway, the $31.8 billion Defense Department budget can't afford a fax machine for its Freedom of Information office, which is a problem because they have to respond within 20 days of those requests. Maybe they shouldn't have spent so much taxpayer dollars on the Information Dominance Center that is basically at NSA. This thing looks like the Star Trek Enterprise. When you guys see this, I'm not kidding you, you're going to be pissed. You look at this thing, you're thinking, they had a designer design it. Yes, someone came in and some artists came in to design this. It's a very futuristic, yet distinctly military, and it looks like the set from Star Trek, minus the doors in the back and some other stuff. So polished aluminum, I mean, it looks expensive. And maybe if they want to spend as much money on this, of course, the room was built back in 1999, so it wasn't a recent purchase. But definitely this thing it's got some wow factor to it. And definitely, if you were in that room, you definitely want to sit on that chair that they've designed that looks like Captain Kirk's chair. So I'll have the link up in the show notes for you to check out. But definitely a little bit extravagant for what you would expect to be a pretty plain Jane, you know, room with a desk and computers and all that kind of stuff. There's been a declassification of flu pandemic plan containing some sobering assumptions. The DOD has declassified a copy of a 2009 concept of operation plan for an influenza pandemic. Among the plan's scary yet reasonable assumptions are that in the United States, such a pandemic will kill 2% of the infected population, or about 2 million people. The plan also assumed that a vaccine would not be available for at least 4 to 6 months after confirmation of sustained human transmission, and that the weekly vaccine manufacturing capability only produced 1% of the total U.S. vaccine required, meaning state and local governments will be overwhelmed and civilian mortuary operation require military augmentations. Measures such as limiting public gatherings, closing schools, social distancing, protective sequestration, and masking will be required to limit transmission, reduce illness and death. And this is a plan that they actually came up with. And I haven't read it, but Those of you out there preppers, you're all smiling. Having been to Afghanistan, you know, it's pretty backwards in many places. And there's very few places in Afghanistan that would be termed modern. And that's why only 3.5% of the population in Afghanistan use the internet. So, you know, posting a status update on Twitter is a foreign concept to most citizens that still rely on printed newspaper and radio reports. And there's a goal to try to get more people connected there. I hate to say it this way, good luck. There's some places lucky to have running water, let alone internet service. Anyway, that interesting write-up over on Slashdot with some links to some articles. I'll have a link up in the show notes for you to check out. Security company said that NASDAQ waited 2 weeks to fix a very serious flaw on its website, making it very vulnerable. So with all the money NASDAQ has, I wonder why it took them 2 weeks. There's also some speculation that, moving on here, there's some speculation that Apple may have made a mistake by releasing two new iPhones, as they have not announced 1 week sales. And so it might mean that there wasn't as big a rush as, you know, in the past, which will be the first time they haven't reported the total number of units moved in the first week. Those of you that have gotten used to the Twitter iOS app, it's going to change. They are very quickly getting to the point where they're going to make an update, the third iteration of this, and it's probably going to be released when iOS 7 comes online. Last couple articles here for you tonight. Some rooftop solar panels really compromised the firefighters' ability in New Jersey to fight a fire at a major distribution center. They were afraid to go up on the roof because they were afraid of being electrocuted. And they had to fight the flames from the outside, and it basically cost them the entire building. So that's kind of an interesting new development. We haven't heard that type of story before, but that's something new that's in the space. You guys know faxing someone is unwanted faxes is illegal, right? Well, apparently some guy didn't know about this. A lawyer owes $4 million for junk faxing. A suburban Chicago attorney apparently never got the memo. And basically, a state planning attorney has got to cough up four super large to pay his fine for spamming people with faxes. All right, last two articles. If you care about this, boy, the global warming, folks. There's a big report coming out from the IPCC. It's the Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change. And apparently, the world has warmed only 0.05 degrees Celsius, 0.09 degrees Fahrenheit per decade over the last 15 years, a fraction of the 0.2 degrees Celsius or 0.36 degrees Fahrenheit per decade, confidentially predicted by the UN 6 years ago. So that's going to get the global warming folks, in an uproar again. So that report that's been leaked is all over the news, so we'll probably be hearing more about that. And you guys remember the Costa Concordia? Well, they've got her sitting straight up. Just a few minutes ago, in a lengthy process involving massive pulleys, cables, and steel tanks, a salvage crew has managed to roll the 114,000-ton vehicle off the rocks where it ran aground 20 months ago. So hopefully this thing's going to be on its way here soon and get the heck out of that port, and they'll be able to start working on the reef and get those folks' lives back to normal and hopefully save some of their tourism season for next year. Okay, so went fast here at the end. Let me see what I've got in email comments for you. And today's date is the 16th of September. The last show was on the 12th, and got an email here from Dino. He said, Todd, Android is killing Apple. Samsung is killing Apple. To make a long story short, Apple's business model works great when competition doesn't exist. Unfortunately for Apple, Android, Samsung, and others have brought options. Apple's closed garden locked ecosystem their way out there. Our way or the highway mentality is exactly what's turning them into just another brand. They are slowly alienating consumers with prices and limitations. Being an ex-iPhone owner myself, my sympathies are limited. So Apple has had ample amounts of feedback and resources needed to stay ahead. It's obvious that Apple does work and it will keep working. However, it's not going to keep them at the top anymore. It's time to play catch up, and you'll witness this in iOS 7. You will also witness this next year when Apple most likely introduces a larger iPhone. Unfortunately, this will all come a bit too late for many and already has for many. Dino. Dino, I don't think iOS 7 is going to deliver everything that they, you know, I don't think it's going to catch them up. I really don't. I got an email here from Jason. He says, I think your opinion on the new iOS 7 interface is going to be common, but not universal. My first impression is much more positive. The new look is clean and fresh and matches a lot of the latest and best looking third-party apps that were starting to make the built-in apps look dated. It is definitely flat and cartoonish, but the colors are still deep and rich with nice subtle gradients. The icon graphy is clean and crisp, and they've replaced the heavy graphical elements with more fluid animation. I have only one minor complaint. The background for grouped apps and for the fixed app shelf at the bottom should be translucent instead of flat gray. I bet if this was an Android phone, I'd be able to configure that, Jason. Got an email here from Karen. She says, will I buy the new iPhone? Yes, of course. I would because I'm entrenched. I was thinking no one would bother stealing the phone because they would need your finger. Then I thought a grisly thought. Ooh, that's true. If they want your phone and you want to open it up, they got to cut your finger off. Got an email from Jim. It appears Alec Baldwin is going to end his podcast, his celebrity news podcast. So that's gone. Big loss there. I'm a big Alec Baldwin fan. Not. So anyway, but he is ending his podcast. And I got news on that. Thank you for that, Jim. Appreciate it. And I got an email from Mike. And I don't know if this, you know, sometimes people say they listen to the show. And they send me a pitch. And I don't necessarily believe that they listen to the show. But I'm going to go ahead and take a little bit of a misgiving, a little leeway here. Hi, I'm Mike. I'm a frequent visitor of Geek News Central. I've been working hard on a Kickstarter gaming campaign for my product called Strength Stack 52 Body Weight Fitness Cards. The campaign will launch Thursday, September 19th. I think your readers would love to know about this campaign and how the project was created. Here's the video explaining it. It would involve the tragedy of 9/11, a mother with cancer, and a soldier turned entrepreneur. I would love to draft some press release of articles for your site. We don't take press releases. I'm just giving you a little bit of a pitch here, and we'll put the link up in the show notes. Thanks and keep up the good work. Good luck, Mike, on your Kickstarter on raising the cash. I know it can be a challenge, and I wish you the best in raising the money. Okay, I think that's it. Whoo, boy, I went about 100 words per minute there for a little bit, and I hope it all made sense. I hope you guys enjoyed. Gotten some good feedback, private feedback on the last couple of shows. They say keep kicking it. So we're going to keep kicking it. And but to keep your comments coming, geeknews@gmail.com. You can call the hotline, of course, anytime at 619-342-7365. Of course, you email me here, geeknews@gmail.com, or you can tweet me at geeknews. Follow me on Twitter. I mean, G+. Just look for Todd Cochran. You'll find me there. And drop me a line. Really, it's stay connected any way you want. And provide comments any way you want. And if as long as I have them in a form I can easily incorporate in the show, I'll cover it. But we want to thank all of you for being here. And hey, definitely consider becoming an insider. You can support the show for just a measly 6.7 cents a day, just to be a contributor at $2 a month. If every listener of this show, become a $2 a month subscribers, we wouldn't have to have an advertiser one. Not one, not a single one. And we could do incredible things with just everyone coming in at $2. So if you're not an insider, come in as an insider. We need your support. And I'm still considering whether or not I'm going to do some sort of a one-time fundraising thing for CES. That's all to be determined yet. But definitely appreciate any support you can give. And if you can't support financially, support us with a tweet or a shout out or any other way to promote the show is greatly appreciated. Everyone, thanks for being here. We'll see you next time. Support our sponsor, GoDaddy.com. Use my promo codes. That helps the show out as well. Everyone, take care. We'll see you next time. Aloha.